We heard in the epistle reading about the great saints of salvation history from the Old Testament. The author there writing about the great fathers of the faith. Previous in the chapter, he had spoken of Abel and Noah and Abraham, etc. And how all these looked forward to something greater with eyes of faith. They looked forward to the new covenant. And so rightly so, we call them saints. Our very church is named after the prophet, Saint Elias. The author then goes on to talk about how we therefore are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And we are reminded of that by the images of those witnesses who have gone before us in the faith here in the church. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, the saints and the angels, whom we cannot see among us. And so we therefore, he says, should run the faith, the race, that is set before us, like they did, looking forward to the finish line. And so we hear of these great saints of salvation history of the past who have gone before us. And we today are surrounded by these saints. Again, as I mentioned, here is St. Barbara, a great Palestinian saint. St. Elias, again, St. Anthony, St. Catherine. Today is the Sunday of All Saints. Today is the Sunday of All Saints. And as you heard in the Ambon prayer that I prayed for you, that bolts in there, as I pray the Ambon prayer, listen to this beautiful prayer that the church gives us for today. O Lord, lover of mankind. O Lord, who loves mankind. That's us. We're the mankind part. Okay? Who are wonderful in your saints. Or by your saints, through your saints, you are shown wonderful. Okay? Who are the source of all holiness. Holiness. Holy is the word saint, as you know. The word saint in English comes from the Old English and through the French, saint. This is sanctus. You probably have heard this, those of you from the Latin tradition. Remember, sanctus, 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 right? Holy, holy, holy. Here in the church we sing in Greek, agios, agios, or in Greek, or in Arabic, kadouson, kadouson ilah, right? Holy God. Holy. You, O Lord, who are the source of all holiness, you gave us your divine command by the holy, be holy, for I am holy, he says. Be holy, for I am holy. This is the great commandment from the Old Testament. The entire Torah, the five books of Moses, have in their center the book of Leviticus. And in the center of the book of Leviticus is what was considered by the Jews to be the heart of the Torah, the holiness code. This is Leviticus 17 through 22. Because in the very center of that holiness code, in the center of the book of Leviticus, in the center of the Torah was this statement, Leviticus 19:2, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. So he says, you gave us the command to be holy. You poured the Spirit of holiness, the Holy Spirit, into our hearts. Right? We just celebrated this last Sunday, the Feast of Pentecost. You made us temples, therefore. You made us temples for your glory. We pray you by your mercy. So, based upon that, what God has done for us, we now pray by your mercy to make us faithful to that life-giving Spirit, that Holy Spirit. Enlighten our minds so that we may understand your plan of salvation, which we heard part of that in the epistle reading. Your plan of salvation, and please you by doing your will in all of our life. All of our life. For you are the wellspring of all holiness. And to you we render glory, thanksgiving, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, both now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. So I ask you then, what are we called to? We are called to that, and that, and that, and that. We look at the icons, the images in the church, and we see the great saints, that great cloud of witnesses has gone before us, the holy ones, and that is who we have become, and that is what we are called to live out in all of our life. With every breath. What does this mean, holy? Holy, agios in Greek, kadosh in Hebrew, kadosh in Arabic, sanctus, unless it means set apart. Set apart, made different, made distinct. Right? This is a holy garment. This is not a common garment. Right? This is a holy image, not a common image. This is a holy building, not a common building, a regular, ordinary building. It's special. Has a special purpose. That's the holy table. That's the holy book. This is the holy place. We use these words all the time. Set apart, distinct, different. God called Abraham to holiness in Genesis 12. When he said, come. Come to the land that I will show you and I will bless you so that through you, this is chapter 12, verse 3, all the nations shall be blessed. God blessed Abraham. He called him from among the nations so that all the nations could become part of the people of Abraham, part of the people of God, set apart, holy. What are they called to? They're called from this world. You say, well, but is this, are we, I thought the world was, you said it was created by God. It is. But it is in need of resurrection, of restoration, like you have through your baptism received. Jesus prayed for us in John chapter 17. He prayed for his followers that they may be in the world, but not of the world. In the world, but not of this world. This building is in this world, but it's not of this world. You are in this world, but you are not of this world. This world is a fallen world in which you have been called from, sanctified by the power of the Holy Spirit. All of you who have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Him, robed with Him. We sing this, and this is Galatians 3:27. We sing it every baptismal service. We sing this on Pentecost. You have become temples of the Holy Spirit. Like St. Barbara, like St. Elias, like St. Catherine, there is St. Holly, St. Anna, St. Thomas, St. Isaac. You are holy. You are saints. This is the word that we find all over the New Testament. St. Paul refers to the saints in Corinth, which, as you know, weren't very saintly often, or the saints in Rome, or the saints in Thessaloniki. He prayed for the saints of the church. That's you and me. The body of Christ. You have been set apart from this world by virtue of your baptism and chrismation and having received His body and blood, you are no longer ordinary, common human beings. You are temples of the Holy Spirit, called to live that life now. A life worthy of that calling with every breath we take. Well, what does God set us apart for? Why did He call Abraham? Do you remember? Why did He call Abraham? What was the purpose of calling Abraham? Anyone? For the sake of the nations from whom he was called. You have been set apart from the world, this fallen world, so that this fallen world might be restored. You have already, right now, entered back into the Garden of Eden. You now stand in the glory of God. If you are truly baptized into the body of Christ, then you stand right now before the Heavenly Father, because Jesus' body went back to the dwelling place of God. And you, by the virtue of your baptism and chrismation, and having received His body and blood, are part of that body. And as the author of the Epistle to the Hebrews we heard today says, we now stand with confidence before the throne of glory. He refers to the fact that Christ's body is in the heavenly temple before the heavenly eternal Father, of which we, by virtue of our initiation in the church, have become members. You may say, well, that's very nice theology, Father, but look around! Don't you watch the news? Well, I don't, because of a bunch of nonsense. But don't you watch the news and see what's going on out there? Yeah. And that is what we are called for. We are called to make that world out there what we have already become. We are called to make those people out there what you and I, through the mercy of God, have already become. A people restored to the family of God. A people restored to what Adam and Eve once had. We are called to bring all of them into this church and turn that world out there what this building is right here. Holy, set apart, restored to what we once were called to be in the Garden of Eden. Now, that's a high calling, I admit. But don't worry, Jesus is with us. He said, behold, I am with you to the ends of the age. I am with you. These words are the words that God said to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, when Moses kept trying to get out of the job. Moses, you go call the people of Israel out of Egypt and bring them here to this holy mountain. You go call the people out there who are not holy, set apart, to be holy and set apart. Bring them to this mountain. And Moses says, you've got the wrong guy. Who am I that I should go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let the people go? You know what God said to him? I will be with you. We are called to go out in that world and bring the people out of Egypt, across the Red Sea of the baptismal font, to receive the holy manna of His body and blood. We are called to bring those people outside of the Garden of Eden back into the Garden of Eden. How do we do that? Through living a life of holiness, set apart from the world. In our workplace, are we any different from the fellow workers who might not be Christian? In the neighborhood, are we any different from our neighbor? Does our non-Christian neighbor know that we are Christian even? Do we live a life that is distinct, set apart, not out of this world, in this world, but not of this world? Do we live in the neighborhood differently than our non-Christian neighbor? Are we different in school, in college, wherever we might find ourselves, from those around us? St. Francis said, preach the gospel always. And when necessary, use words. So you might say, as Moses said, Father, I'm not eloquent. I cannot speak. I've never had any courses in theology. Well, time to open a book and start studying. But that is no excuse not to live the gospel. To live the gospel, the good news. To live as we are now, sacramentally set apart from that world out there. Why? Because the way you live your life is like a light in the darkness. It is like a light in your neighborhood, like a light shining from your cubicle at work, from a light from your desk in school. It is like a light in the darkness, and those who are in the darkness, who are in Egypt, will come to the light. And they will ask you, why are you different? What do you believe? Tell me. This is our calling. And that's the opportunity to preach the gospel. What do we believe? Simply this. That Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, having trampled down death by His death, and to those in the tombs He has given life. That is the good news. That is the gospel that was preached by the apostles at Pentecost. And that is the gospel that is heard by the 3,000 that were baptized on that day. Jesus has called us to go out and make disciples of all nations, fulfilling that promise to Abraham. Go out and make disciples of all nations so that all the nations might be blessed. How is that possible? By baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have taught you, and behold, I am with you even to the end of the age. Glory be to Jesus Christ with His eternal Father and His all-holy, good and life-giving Spirit, both now and ever, and to ages of ages. Amen.